إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we're going to continue with our discussion from the explanation of the chapter of Riyadh al-Salihin entitled Al-Mubadara ila al-Khayrat. Al-Mubadara ila al-Khayrat. وَحَثُّ مَنْ تَوَجَّهَ لِخَيْرٍ على الإقبال عليه بالجد من غير تردد. يعني hastening towards good deeds and urging one who is headed towards good to advance with eagerness and without hesitation. And the explanation that we're reading from is from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'a. And today we're going to take the first hadith from this chapter, and I would just remind us that this chapter is selected with the intent that the reading of these hadith and what they contain would be actually an encouragement for each one of us, brothers and sisters, young and old. It would be an encouragement for us to rethink our behavior and to try to consciously make an effort to hasten to do good deeds whenever they come to mind, or whenever we are reminded of them, or whenever the opportunity arises, that we hasten to do good. And we said previously in the introduction to this chapter, that Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said that one should hasten to do good deeds, knowing that perhaps there may be some cause or reason that would prevent you after some time from being able to do it. Yani perhaps a person might get sick, or someone may die, or the opportunity itself may pass you by. It may be time limited and it may pass you by. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to talk about another reason why we should hasten to doing good deeds, because perhaps a fitna may arise that would make it difficult to do what is easy to do today, or make it impossible. One may become unable to do the good that they are able to do now due to the intensity and the severity of the fitna. And whoever hasn't seen that fitna, then believe it, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he described it, it is like that. And it is, as we will see in the hadith, the first hadith that we want to talk about tonight, it is such that a person, there would be no light, and a person wouldn't be able to find their way. They wouldn't know which way to go, how to get out of it. You would be lost, confused, perplexed, yani, at a loss to know what to do. So if a person is able to do good deeds at this moment, then hasten to do it and do not delay. Before we look at the first hadith from this chapter, we want to go back and review some of the topics that we discussed last week from the question and study guide number 3. The first question being, discuss briefly the two levels of ihsan in reference to the worship of Allah. We said that ihsan, yani there's ihsan what? In reference to the worship of Allah, and there's ihsan towards the worshippers of Allah. This question is about, yani, the two levels of ihsan in reference to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, Waleed. Okay, worship Allah with love for Him, uh-huh. As if you see Him.
And if you can't reach that, then you the next level is still good, but it's not as high up. You worship Allah through the fear of Allah.
Worship Allah through the fear of Allah. Fearing His punishment, etc. Now, anybody want to add to this? Now, Musa.
That you worship Allah with presence of heart.
Okay, the first level that he mentioned. Worship Allah with presence of heart. Yani that a person is conscious, fully conscious of what they are doing now. Yani as though you are desiring to reach your Rabb. Yani worshipping Allah with presence of mind and heart, as though you want to reach your Rabb. Naam.
And also on the simple level is that you worship Allah fearing His punishment and hoping for His forgiveness.
Fearing His punishment, hoping for His forgiveness. Yani the Shaykh, he said, as far as the first level, he said that it is as in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani we should try to always refer back to the source, right? The source of this question is based upon the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani when he was asked what is ihsan, he said what?
أن
تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. Yani the two levels of ihsan in reference to the worship of Allah is contained in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To worship Allah as though you're seeing Him, as the Shaykh said and Musa mentioned, bi qalbin hadir, with a presence of heart. Yani your heart is present in your action. Your mind is present. You are not absent-minded. You are not unmindful. You are conscious of what you are doing. Yani as though you are seeking to reach your Rabb. Huh? And he said, yani talaban وَمَحَبَّةً وَشَوْقًا, meaning that the person is worshipping Allah as though they are seeking Allah and they are loving Allah. They want to be, yani, in the presence of their Rabb. And they are yearning, yani, a shawq means to yearn, to long for something, to want it badly. This is the first level. Worship Allah as though you see Him with presence of heart, yani, seeking Him out, loving Him, yearning to be, yani, with your Rabb. And the second level, he said, is less than the first level. And the second level is to worship Allah haraban wa khawfan wa khashyatan. Yani you worship Allah as though you're fleeing from His punishment. Knowing that Allah is seeing you. Knowing that He sees what you're doing and hears what you're saying and what you're engaged in and what you're thinking. Knowing that Allah sees you, a person fears that Allah sees them in a position, in a place, doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And they fear Allah's punishment and His wrath and His anger and His displeasure. Huh? They fear Allah and they are in awe of Allah. And they are fleeing from the punishment and displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second question discussed briefly what is meant by ihsan in one's relationships with other people, mentioning some specific areas of it. Ihsan in reference to your relationships with the people. Now, Nadia.
Is that sorry.
No.
Is that being best? Being the best to them in speech, action, with your wealth.
Being the, I didn't hear the first part.
Best to them.
The best, being the best, treating people the best way in reference to what?
Speech,
your speech, actions, your wealth, spending, huh?
And by holding them back from committing.
And holding them back and holding yourself back also from harm. Yani, holding back the harm. Naam. Yani, treating people with ihsan, treating them kindly, gently, compassionately, generously. Yani treating people well, respectfully. This is ihsan in reference to the people. And it's in different areas, in your speech, in your actions, in reference to your spending, your wealth, and so on. Now, you want to add, Waleed?
Yeah, I was going to add that clarifying a sin to a brother or sister that you notice.
And if you see a person committing a sin, to clarify that this is something sinful. Now,
because this is also considered ihsan for the people.
And this is also ihsan to the people. Yani to clarify the error, the mistake, the sin that a person is engaging in, and to, yani, warn them against it. Yani al-amr bin ma'ruf wa nahy al-munkar. After this, the question mentioned the example offered by the Shaykh rahimahullah of ihsan to others in one's speech. Ihsan in one's speech. What was the example the Shaykh gave of ihsan in speech? Abdul Haq.
Yeah, the reading of Salah. Read it, read it. one should respond with a better greeting, if not, then at least an equal greeting.
Naam, greeting with salams. That if somebody greets you with salams, then you should greet them with a better greeting. But if not, at least equal. Huh? What is the ayah? Where is this ayah in the Quran? Which surah? Huh? Nisa? Which ayah?
86?
486. Type, who memorized this ayah? Memorize it. Naam, fadl. Bi ahsana minha aw? Aw rudduha. Naam. Yani, if you are greeted with a greeting, then greet back. Bi ahsana minha. With that which is better than the greeting that they gave you. Aw rudduha, meaning, or at least return equal of what yani they have said to you. This is ihsan. Yani bi ahsana minha, with that which is better than it. Naam. Nadir.
That's the fine also, that the type of voice that is.
And the Shaykh mentioned, naam, in terms of being better, it could also mean what?
The type of voice, the voice that you
receive. The voice. Naam, that you receive the greeting where you should at least equal. If a person spoke to you, gave you greeting with a clear greeting that was heard, then you should yani reciprocate. Huh? Not with the, as the Shaykh said, yani returning the greeting with the nose. Yani. Naam, after this, question number 4. Explain the hadith, help your brother whether he is a zalim or a mazloom. Yani unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazlooman. Yani, what is the meaning of this hadith? Yani, just briefly, yani the Shaykh gives some brief explanation concerning this hadith. Help your brother whether he is a zalim, oppressor, or the mazloom, the one who is oppressed or wrong. Naam, Waleed. And the person who's being oppressed, you try to get them out of the oppression, try to free them from the harm that's being done to them.
And then the person who is the one who's oppressing, you at least talk, and you could, because it's mentioned when they said, what about the person who...
Naam, they said, we know about the one who is mazloom, but how do we help the one who is the zalim? Naam, what did he say? And how do you help him? Now, that's possible, but before that, the Prophet specifically said, "Naam."
By preventing him,
holding him back from the dhulm that he's doing. That might be by talking to him. That might be by actually stopping that person physically, if you're authorized and able, capable. If you're authorized, meaning you don't take the law into your own hands. You see somebody oppressing, you don't become the police. And then you arrest them or kill them or beat them, and then you go to jail. Not in this land or in any land. There are authorities. There are authorities. Yani, stop them. The Prophet ﷺ said, what about the one who is the zalim? He said, and tamna'ahu min al-zulm. Yani, prevent him from doing zulm. And this is helping him. And this is ihsan ilayhi. The question discussed the author's distinction between one who commits fahisha, yani what is intended by fahisha, and the one who commits zulm against oneself. The Shaykh distinguished between what is al-fahisha and what is yani the one who did zulm to himself. Naam, Musa.
The fahisha is the major sins.
Uh-huh.
Like fornication.
What else? Huh?
Killing.
Huh? What else?
Shirk?
Drinking, alcohol, intoxicants, interest. Naam. These are the major. He said those things which are abominable, yani atrocious, disgusting, filthy, fahisha. And what is the zulm that is mentioned in this ayat? Aw zalamu anfusahum. Huh? The lesser sins. The lesser sins. Yani those which are less than al-fahisha. The lesser sins that people might commit. Mention the two angles from which the believer remembers Allah at the time of committing a sin. Yani, in the ayat that we mentioned in the beginning, وَالَّذِينَ فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. Yani, what is the two angles from which the meaning here is when the person commits this type of sin, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ, they remember Allah, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. The Shaykh said that they remember Allah from two angles. They remember Allah min wajhain. Naam, Mustafa.
First, by remembering the
Remembering His Majesty, His Azama, Naam, and His Uquba, and His punishment, and His dominance, His Sultan Al-Azim, yani His dominance, His supremacy in the earth, in the heavens and in the earth. Now remembering Allah's Azama, His greatness, His Majesty, His glory, and His Uquba, and the severity of His punishment, and His authority over the heavens and the earth. That's from one angle. And the person who does this, then what happens to them? They fear Allah, and they feel ashamed. And therefore they what? Seek Allah's forgiveness. They seek His forgiveness. Naam. And the other angle, somebody else. Naam, Abu Bakr. They remember Allah's rahmah, and qubul at-tawbah. That Allah, they remember Allah is merciful. Naam, Allah is extremely merciful, and He accepts repentance. They remember this. And this causes them to do what? To desire to repent. And therefore they turn to Allah and ask His forgiveness. Naam. And this is very important. Yani, the Shaykh has given us a benefit here, that for every one of us, in the course of a day and a night, and the Prophet ﷺ said, the children of Adam, they are committing sin by day and by night. By day and by night. And there's no one that forgives sins except Allah. So this is a reminder to us that if a person is committing a sin, they should remember Allah's greatness and His majesty and His glory and His supremacy and the severity of His punishment, and they should seek Allah's forgiveness. And they should also not lose hope, but they should remember Allah's rahmah, His mercy, and that He accepts repentance, and they should turn back to Him. Naam. We should turn back to Him constantly. Question number 7. Memorize the supplication which the Prophet ﷺ referred to as Sayyid al-Istighfar, and define this expression. What is the meaning of Sayyid al-Istighfar? Sayyid master of what? Of seeking forgiveness. Naam, the master, yani the best way of seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who memorized this supplication? Come on, let me see some more hands. I know more people memorized this supplication. Not just now, we already memorized it a long time ago. Long time ago. Naam. Sayyid al-Istighfar. Okay, somebody recite it for us. Somebody recite it for us. Clear, loud, slow. Naam. Shu'aib.
Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa anta, khalaqtani wa ana abduka, wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika ma istata'tu, wa a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu, wa abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya, wa abu'u bi dhanbi.
Ahsan. Tayyib. Just be careful with the harf al-atf. Wow. Be careful for the wow. Don't put it where it doesn't supposed to be. No harm in terms of Allah accepting your dua, but in terms of reciting the supplication exactly the way the Prophet ﷺ recited, even one particle, one harf, yani, we shouldn't change it. We shouldn't change it. And I don't want to take time on this point, but it is important. Tayyib, mention the reward of one's recitation of Sayyid al-Istighfar, and mention the condition for earning this reward. What is the reward and what is the condition for earning this reward? Who's that back there? I don't see you. Mustafa, other second Mustafa, Naam. Yes. Mustafa on this side, Naam.
If you recite this application on the day and you don't make it to the night, you die, and you're...
If you recite the supplication in the day and you don't make it to the night, but you die before you reach night,
Reward is getting to heaven.
Your reward is that you will be from the people of Jannah. What is the condition for this reward?
You have to
recite it with conviction. Yani you have to with certainty. Muqinan biha. Yani with certainty. And this certainty means what? That a person knows something. They know something, they have knowledge of it, but they're not absolutely certain about it. Certainty means that it's beyond that. Yani, there's no doubt in their mind. They know it, and they know it, yani, with surety. When a person is reciting this, they are sure about the meaning of these words. That's very, very important. And if a person recites it in the night with certainty, and they die before they reach the morning, then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ. So this is, yani, so important. Yani, how can a person not recite this in the day and in the night? Except through shaitan causing us to forget, or causing us to think it's insignificant. that if a person recites these words, even if you didn't memorize it, just read it from a book, but recite it, trying to understand its meaning, believing it in your heart as you're reciting it with consciousness of heart and mind. And when you're reciting it, thinking about what you're saying without distraction, and knowing that what you're saying is the truth, believing this, that if you believe this, and you recite this, and you die in that day or in the night, you will be from the Ahlul Jannah. How can we not recite it? Allahu musta'an. Question number 9, explain the final quality of those for whom the Jannah has been prepared, found in these two ayats, yani in Surah Ali Imran, 134th and 135th ayat. Yani the final quality that's mentioned for the people of Jannah. Who remembers what is this quality? Naam, Abdul Haq.
They don't persist in sin while they know.
Who remembers the ayat? The ayat where this is mentioned. What is the part of the ayat that where this is mentioned? Now.
وَلَمْ
يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ means what? While, yani while الحال, while they are conscious and aware and know that this is sin, that this is dhulm, that this is disobedience to Allah. They do not persist, continue in doing that while they know that this is sin, that they are in disobedience to Allah. Yani the person who is committing sin and they know that it's sin and they continue to do it, there's something wrong with this. This is very, very dangerous. And the last question, the final quality, yani that we just mentioned in this surah, third surah and 35th ayah, is proof that even committing minor sins is grave. If one is blank along with blank. Yani it's grave, even committing minor sins, if one is what? Is persistent, continuously committing sins while knowing that this is displeasing to Allah, that this is sin and disobedience. Naam, while knowing this. And concerning this point, yani, we mentioned last week, just remind us, yani, that there's a hadith which some of the scholars said is weak, in which it's reported, yani, that the Prophet ﷺ said, there's no minor sin while a person continues to do it, persistent in doing it. And there's no major sin if what? And there's no major sin with the one who what? Al-istighfar, ma'al-istighfar. And some of the scholars said that even the minor sin, if we look at it in reference to the greatness and glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's major. And even the small amount of sin is a lot in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we consider the one who is being disobeyed, not just the act of disobedience. And Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, we mentioned last week, he said that what is obligatory is a tawbah from the greater sins and the lesser sins, that a person should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, the hadith that we're going to discuss is the first hadith in this chapter. Allahumma musta'an. I'm going to have to try to keep my notes very short today because of the shortness of time. The first hadith is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, badiru bil amal fitanan, badiru bil amal fitanan, qaqita' al-layli al-muzlim, yusbihu ar-rajulu mu'minan wa yumsi kafiran, wa yumsi mu'minan wa yusbihu kafiran, yabi'u dinahu bi'aradin min ad-dunya. Rawahu Muslim. And in the narration of Imam Ahmad, he said, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِأَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٍ. يعني أَرْضٍ قَلِيلٍ. And in the narration of Imam Muslim, the wording that came, يعني in the Sahih of Muslim, is يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا أَوْ instead of wow, wa. أو يمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا. يعني أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, بادروا بالعمال فتنا, يعني hasten, rush, hurry to do deeds, يعني good deeds, before the occurrence, يعني before you are overcome by the trials and tribulations and afflictions, the fitan. يعني بادروا بالعمال فتنا يعني hasten, rush and hurry to do the good deeds before the fitan, يعني the trials and tribulations come that may overcome you and prevent you or make it difficult for you to do it. This fitan the Prophet ﷺ described كقطع الليل المظلم, يعني it will be like a piece or a portion or a part or a segment of the dark night, deep dark, pitch dark night. يعني the fitan will be like a piece of pitch dark night. And then the Prophet ﷺ gave us an example of this fitan and its magnitude and what it causes the people to do. He said, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا, that a man will reach the morning with iman remaining that he went to sleep with. He will reach the morning with that iman remaining with him. يُصْبِحَ مُؤْمِنًا, he will reach the morning as a believer. وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا, but he will reach the night as a disbeliever. Or يُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا, يعني he will reach the evening with his iman that he started, or يُصْبِح, يعني يُصْبِحُ نعم مُؤْمِنًا as a believer, وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا, but he will reach the morning as a disbeliever. And here, يعني some of the scholars said that this turning over of a person from iman to kufr is due to the magnitude of the trials that cause a person to make this kind of change from iman to kufr fi yawmin wahid, in one day. Yani from between morning and night, or between the night and the morning. The magnitude of the fitna is so severe, is so yani difficult, so harsh, so heavy, that it causes the person in the course of a day to go from iman to kufr. And also that this yani fitan being described as a piece of the dark night, yani as it is mentioned in al-nihaya, yani linguistically what is intended here is that this is a fitna that is yani, he said fitna tasawda, a black trial, tribulation, affliction, ta'zeeman li sha'niha, to show the magnitude of this yani trial or this tribulation or this fitna. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it as yani qita'a, يعني كقطع الليل المظلم, pitch dark, يعني segment or piece of the night. Then he said in the end of the hadith, يعني he gives us the cause of how the person will become a kafir. He said يبيع دينه, he would sell his deen. يعني the person, due to the trial or the tribulation that they were subjected to, he lost the value of his deen. يبيع دينه, he will sell his deen, he will give it away. For what? بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And in the riwayat of Imam Ahmed, بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٍ, that he would sell his deen for something of the material benefits, some of the material enjoyments or pleasures or things that a person, and he comes to a person in this world. From the things of the world, small amount of it, some small insignificant thing, أَرَضٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٍ, he will sell his deen for this. And yani what he may sell his deen for, we don't know. Yani it could be so many different things, but the point is that he will take something of the dunya in exchange for giving up his deen, going out of Islam. Yani he might take the wealth of his Muslim brother, he might steal from somebody, like a brother, is Abdullah here from Trinidad right now? He brought some money to America for the people in his country to go to Hajj, and he gave it to a Muslim travel agent, and the Muslim deceived them until he kept asking, you know, what's happening, where are the visas? And the man traveled, he went to Hajj with their money, and when he came back he said the money is in Saudi Arabia. Yani he took the money of his Muslim brother, أَرْضٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, he sold his deen. Because that may be the cause, if he doesn't repent and return and rectify, it may be the cause of the punishment of Allah, which is severe. Or it might be that a person engaged in interest, riba, or cheating or stealing or deception or whatever it may be, that a person engaged in, that they preferred this over their deen. Yani something that's well known to be haram. Something that is known to all Muslims. Yani well known. Ulima min ad-deen bid-darura. That which there's no doubt about it. And he considered that thing to be lawful. As many of the people today consider riba to be lawful. They consider it to be lawful. They said, yani what are we going to do? I have to get this car. I have to get this house. I have to do something, whatever, by any means necessary. The Shaykh, after mentioning this hadith, yani he says, قال المؤلف رحمه الله, yani he says, the author said, yani Shaykh al-Uthaymeen is saying, the author, meaning Al-Imam An-Nawwi, رحمه الله, he said, فيما راه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, بادروا بالأعمال. Yani that Al-Imam An-Nawwi says, in that which he narrated from Abu Hurairah, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, "Badiru bil amal." Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, "What is the meaning of badiru bil amal? Badiru, yani asri'u ilayha, and he hastened to it, to doing deeds. Hasten to doing the deeds. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Don't put off until later. Badiru, yani asri'u, quickly move to do these deeds. Wal murad al amal as-saliha. And what is meant by deeds here? Righteous deeds, good deeds, yani deeds that are fulfilling the conditions for yani that which we considered worship and acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, what is al-amal as-salih ma buniya ala amrain? And he hastened to do deeds, meaning al-amal as-saliha. And what is al-amal as-salih? The Shaykh said, that which is based upon two matters, al-ikhlas lillahi, sincerity, doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah, والمتابعه لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Two matters. العمل الصالح is that which is based upon الإخلاص, doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, not for any other reason. And المتابعه, strictly following, adhering to that which came from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the Shaykh says, وهذا تحقيق شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. And this is yani doing something sincerely for the sake of Allah and doing it in accordance to the way of the Messenger of Allah. This is the manifestation, the realization, the actualization of the shahada of La ilaha illallah for Muhammad Rasulullah. Yani because in La ilaha illallah, it means that there's nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. That means that whatever you do, you have to do it for Allah. He's the only one that deserves worship. And in Muhammad Rasulullah, there's what? That he is Rasulullah, the only one that has the right to be followed. That whatever we do should be done in accordance with that which he came with. So the Shaykh, he mentions this, and then he says, so the deed which is not done with, yani is not, laysa bi khalis, laysa bi sali, yani that which is not done sincerely for the sake of Allah with ikhlas, then it is not a righteous deed. Even if a person were to perform salat, لَكَنَّهُ يُرَاي النَّاس بِصَلَاتِهِ, but he commits riya, yani he performs his salat yani to be seen by the people. He performs salat so the people could see him praying. He beautifies his salat so people could praise the way he prayed, huh? The way he bowed, the way he stood, the way he prostrated, the way he recited, yani so that people can see him and they can praise him. So even if a person prayed, but that person performed their prayer with riya, doing it to be seen by the people, then his deed is not accepted. Even if that person fulfilled all of the preconditions of the salat, the shurut of the salat, or the arkan of the salat, yani the essential pillars of the salat, the obligatory duties of the salat, the sunnah acts of the salat, the tama'anina, yani being in a state of calmness and tranquility in the performance of the salat, wa aslahaha islahan taman, and then that person did it well, yani completely well, performed it well, for zahir, yani outwardly, yani the outward performance was done perfectly. Even if they did all of that, وَلَكِنَّهَا يَعْنِي لَا تُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ, but it would not be accepted from him, and that is because يَعْنِي لِأَنَّهَا خَالَتَهَا الشِّرْكِ, because it has been mixed with shirk, yani riya. Riya is shirk, yani it's minor shirk. نعم. But it will never be accepted, no matter how well he performed it outwardly, because it has been polluted with shirk. It has been mixed with shirk. And whoever associates something with Allah, along with him, other than him, something other than Allah, then his deed would never be accepted by Allah. And this is as it has been mentioned in the Sahih Hadith from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala Allahu ta'ala, yani Hadith Qudsi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah the Most High said, Ana aghna shuraka'i an ash-shirki. Ana aghna ash-shuraka'i an ash-shirki. The Shaykh, he explains this expression. This really is a difficult expression. It's a difficult expression. Aghna ash-shuraka'i. The apparent meaning of it is that I am, of all those who have associates, I'm the most free of need. That's the apparent meaning of it. Of all those who have associates, I'm the associate that's most free of need. Yani the other people who have associates, they need their partners and helpers. But Allah, He has associates and partners, but He doesn't need help. That's the apparent meaning of it. Ana aghna shuraka an ash-shirk. But that's not the meaning of it, of course, because Allah doesn't have any partners. The Shaykh, he said, the meaning of this is, يَعْنِي إِذَا أَحَدٌ شَارَكَنِي فَأَنَا غَنِيٌ عَنْ شِرْكِهِ. Yani if somebody associated something or someone with me, then I am completely free of need of his partnership, association. Yani if somebody was to associate something or someone with Allah, then Allah is saying, I am completely free of need of that partnership or that association. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said after this, yani demonstrating the meaning of this statement, that He is the one, yani, who if anyone was associated with Him, He has no need of that associate or that partner. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعِي غَيْرِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. Yani, and this is a very strong statement that we should take to heart. It is serious. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking, whoever does a deed, أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعِي غَيْرِي, and they have associated something in that deed with me, yani someone other than me. They have associated someone other than me in that deed along with me. They made him a partner with me. تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ, then I have left him and his shirk. This is the meaning of this, the ending of this hadith. Be careful of the meaning of it here, because the translation of it is a little bit different. Actually, the meaning of it is crystal clear, yani, but the translation is something different. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever does this, تَرَكْتُهُ, I have abandoned him, the one who did it, وَشِرْكَهُ, and his act of associating something with me. I have abandoned him and his act of shirk. And that's severe, because that means Allah abandons you and the deed that you did, that you associated something with Him in it. The hadith is reported by Imam Muslim. And likewise, the Shaykh says that even if a person from the other side, yani he's saying here, even if a person performed the deed perfectly, but it was mixed with shirk, Allah wouldn't accept it. And he's saying, and likewise, similarly, كَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا, even if a person أَخْلَصَ فِي عَمَلِهِ, yani he did it purely for the sake of Allah. He did a deed sincerely, completely for Allah alone. And this is common today amongst the people, yani from the Muslims, that some people are sincere in their heart. They're really doing something for the sake of Allah, but they're not doing it in accordance with the Sharia of Allah, the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Shaykh said, even if a person performed the deed with sincerity, وَلَكِنَّهُ أَتَى بِبِدَعَةٍ مَا شَرَعَهَا الرَّسُولُ ﷺ فَإِنَّ عَمَلُهُ لَا يُقْبَلُ, that if a person did this, yani purely for the sake of Allah, but then they did the act in accordance with an innovation, yani in a way that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not legislated it, then his deed will not be accepted. حَتَّى لَوْ كَانَ مُخْلِصًا, even if that person is sincere and doing it for the sake of Allah, even if that person was crying from khushu' in his salat, yani he was so sincere in his prayer, he was crying for real, not making believe. He was really crying out of fear and awe of Allah. Even if he was crying out of fear of Allah, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَنْفَعُهُ ذَلِكَ, this deed that he did, which is based upon innovation, it would never benefit him at all. Wallahi, this is something that we should fear. How many, I won't say us, but how many people, they are praying sincerely, but they are not praying according to the Sunnah. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, he wrote a book, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, yani hadith with the meaning of the hadith, yani a book with the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet, yani where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pray as you have seen me praying, and he detailed in it from the beginning of the end of the salat the sunnah with verification from authentic hadith and references. And he said, this is the description of the prayer of the Prophet as though you are looking at him performing the prayer. So a person didn't read that book, but they just grew up praying the way they saw the people praying in their town, in their neighborhood, in their village, wherever they came from, the Muslim lands, or they accepted Islam in America, and they just watched the people who came here from somewhere else, how they prayed, and they prayed the way they prayed. And a lot of the people are praying wrong. And I don't have the time to discuss some of the common things that people are doing in the prayer openly, with no shame, that have nothing to do with the sunnah. And the shaykh is saying that if a person, even if they did it sincerely for the sake of Allah, even if they did it mukhlisan, with khushu'ah, it would not benefit them at all. And this is because bid'ah, innovation, has been described by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi'annaha dalala, that it is misguidance. That bid'ah is misguidance. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدَعَ, every newly invented matter that's not based upon the Quran and the Sunnah, that's not from the Sharia, not from the Sunnah of the Prophet, every newly invented matter is bid'ah, and every bid'ah is dalala. And this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmed, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and others. Then the Shaykh, he went on, yani after describing, yani what is the righteous deeds that a person should hasten, yani before the occurrence of these trials and tribulations and afflictions, we should hasten to do without delay. And he described these righteous deeds as being based upon two things, al-ikhlas and al-mutaba. After this he said, then, yani he said, yani the Prophet ﷺ said, fitanan kaqita' al-layli al-muzlimi. Yani that hasten to do these deeds before the occurrence, before the falling of the fitan, the trials, that would be like a piece or a part or a segment or a portion of the dark, dark night, al-layl al-muzlim. Here the Prophet ﷺ is informing that there will occur fitan, trials, that would be like a piece of the dark night, na'udhu billahi. And the Shaykh said, we seek refuge in Allah from that. Wallahi, that's something to seek refuge in Allah from, because if the fitan overcomes us, we will be destroyed, for real. And here the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he explains yani this portion of the hadith, yani the trials and tribulations that will be like a piece of the dark night. He said that this would occur. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us what is going to happen in the future. And indeed, it did happen and continues to occur, these fitan, proving yani the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, the meaning of this, يعني أنها مدلهمة مظلمة, يعني that it would be deep, dark, black darkness of night. يعني pitch dark, jet black darkness. لا يرى فيها النور. يعني no light would be seen in this darkness. There would be no light. Not the light of the moon in the middle of the month, no street light or a flashlight. No light. No light. Darkness in which there is no light. لا يرى فيها النور. وَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And we seek refuge in Allah from such. وَلَا يَدْرِي الْإِنسَانَ أَيْنَ يَذْهَبُ. And a person will not know where to go. يَكُونُ حَائِرًا. The person will be confused, perplexed, astray, straying, lost, not knowing where to go. لَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَ الْمَخْرَجُ. Person would not know how to get out. Where's the exit? How do we get out of this? Naam. Yani just consider that a trial befell you and you don't know what to do in it. You don't know what to do, what to say, where to go. You're lost, confused, to no end. The Shaykh, he says, and I ask Allah to save us from these kinds of trials and tribulations. Ameen. And then the Shaykh begins to explain yani the two categories of fitna, and that yani based on the causes yani of those types of fitna. He said the fitan minha ma yakunu min ash-shubuhat, and in some trials or tribulations are from the shubuhat, doubtful matters that are not clear to the people. Wa minha ma yakunu min ash-shahawat, and some of the fitan, the trials, is based on desires. Yani some people are tried because of what? Shubha, yani an issue, they don't quite understand it due to lack of knowledge. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important to have knowledge, so you don't get confused by the shubha. When they bring it to you, they won't be able to cause you to go astray, because you will know what's right and what's wrong. But the people who don't have knowledge, they go for the shubha. Somebody can tell them anything, and they go for it. Lots of people say, oh, somebody told me such and such. Where'd I get that from? But if you don't have knowledge, you go for it. Because the matter is not clear to you. And the other type is the shahawat, that people know what's right and wrong, but they follow their desires. Yani, this is what is more common, maybe, for many people, is that they know what's right. But somehow, yani, they can't resist the call to yani, fulfill their desires. May Allah save us from both of these. So the fitan of the shubuhat. The Shaykh, he says, he defines it as kullu fitnatin mabaniyatin ala jahl. Every fitna that's based upon ignorance, yani the person is tested or trialed or afflicted because of what? Because of ignorance, because they don't know, they don't have knowledge. This is shubuhat. Every fitna that's based upon ignorance. And from that is what occurs from the people of innovation, those who have innovated in their beliefs, in their aqa'id, that which is not in the sharia of Allah. Like they said, the Prophet is created from light. And so they named Medina, Medina Munawwara. The city of light. And because the Prophet, he wasn't created from, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the earth. Like us, he's created from light. This is innovative beliefs. Or the people who say that there are some saints, you can go to their grave and pray to them. They believe that they can answer your prayer. And some people believe that they have imams who are ma'asum. Huh? Who are they? Shiites. They believe their imams are ma'asum. And they're free from error. They can't make a mistake. They don't commit sin. They don't do wrong. They know everything. They know everything. And they even said, in this day and time, they even said that the imams only die when they want to. When they will to. This innovative beliefs. And then also, it may be from the people of innovation, those who have innovated in their speech and in their actions, that which is not in the sharia of Allah. And there's plenty of this, and we don't have time to mention them. Yani, the things that the people have innovated in their sayings and in their actions. For indeed, the human being might be tested, yuftan, might be tried, and we seek refuge in Allah from this. So he will go astray from the haq, bisababi ash-shubha, due to the shubha. Yani, due to this doubtful matter, which if he had knowledge, it would be clear to him. So the person goes astray. They yani, go off the track, away from the truth due to the shubha. And also from the shubuhat, yani, the trials and afflictions that are based upon ignorance, is that which occurs in the muamalat, in the people's dealings. Like the people who are selling things they don't own. For example, I'm saying this, right? This is common today on the internet, right? People are selling things they don't even have in their possession. That's haram in Islam. You can't sell something you don't own, even though you paid for it. Maybe you're a businessman and you paid for this stuff, but you don't have it. And you're selling it. You own it, you don't possess it. You have to possess that which you sell in Islam. And this is yani, common today. And more common than all of that is the riba, right? Which is yani, polluted the land and the earth, the land and the sea around the world. Also, yani, from the shubahat is that which the people fell into due to lack of knowledge, due to ignorance in their dealings, financial dealings and otherwise. From those umur al-mushtabiha allati hiya wadihatun fi qalb al-muqin mushtabihatun fi qalb al-dal wa'iyadh billah. Yani, these matters which are crystal clear in the heart of the person who has yaqeen, who has knowledge that reached the level of yaqeen. It's crystal clear to that person, but it is unclear to the heart of the person who is astray, and we seek refuge in Allah from this. And the Shaykh, he keeps saying, yani, a'udhu billah, na'udhu billah, ya'udhu billah, showing what? Yani, his consciousness of the severity of this affair that we take lightly. Yani, we just say this fitan, we're not worried about this. And the Shaykh, he's saying, I'm worried about it. Naam, I'm worried about this. And if you saw a person who used to be a Muslim, maybe he used to pray with you, maybe he was upon the Sunnah, maybe he was a talib al-ilm, maybe he was learning Arabic and memorizing the Quran, and now you see him in the street like a kafir, that shows you the magnitude of fitna, and the danger of it, and the severity of it, and it is real. It is real. Beware. May Allah save us from this. And the Shaykh, he says, so that this is something which would be clear to the person who has yaqeen, and it would be unclear to the person who is astray. So you will find this person doing some type of muamala. تَبَيَّنَ أَنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةً, and it is clear that it is haram. لَكِنْ لَمَّا لِمَا عَلَى قَلْبِهِ مِنْ رَيْنَ الْأَذُّوبِ نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ يَشْتَبِهَا عَلَيْهِ الْأَمْرَ فَيُزَيِّنْ لَهُ سُوْ عَمَلِهِ وَيُظُنُّهُ حَسَنًا. يعني the person is engaged in some type of transaction which is clear that it is haram, but due to the stain that is upon his heart from committing the sins, and we seek refuge in Allah, we seek Allah's well-being from this sickness, yani it becomes unclear, the matter becomes unclear to him, and then it is made to appear good to him, yani it is made to appear good to him, so he thinks that it is something good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning these people in Surah Al-Kahf 103rd and 104th ayah, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ عَمَلًا, shall we not inform you, say, yani Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, shall we not inform you people of those who are the greatest losers in reference to their a'mal, their deeds, الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنَعَ. Yani those who are greatest in loss in reference to the deeds are those whose efforts, ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ, was lost, went astray, was wasted in the life of this world. And they were considering, يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا, they were thinking in their minds that they were doing well, that they were doing something good. Huh? And in reality, it is all lost. These are those who are the greatest of losers, and we seek refuge in Allah from their condition. After this, the Shaykh says, the second type, yani the second division of fitna, which has a separate cause, and that is the shahawat. تكون الفتن أيضا من الشهوات. يعني بمعنى أن الإنسان يعرف أن هذا حرام. Person knows that this is haram. It's clear. There's no doubt in their mind. They see it. They know it's haram. ولكن لأن نفسه تدعوه إليه فلا يبالي. But because his nafs is calling him to it, then he doesn't give any care about the matter. He doesn't give any care about the matter. Rather, he commits that haram. And here, there's some words here, right, that are extra. I don't know how it came into the text. Yani, in between, فَلَا يُبَالِي, yani, there is there, right? And then it says, بَلْ يَفْعَلَ الْحَرَامِ, yani, just those words in between are not really from the original text. بَلْ يَفْعَلَ الْحَرَامِ, he knows it is haram, but, yani, because his nafs is calling him to it, so he doesn't give any care, and he commits the haram. Or he knows that this matter is obligatory, is wajib, but his nafs is calling him to laziness, so he abandons that which he knows is obligatory. هذه فتنة الشهوة, يعني فتنة إرادة. This is the fitna of shahwa, the shahwat. يعني he means what? Fitna of irada, meaning that a person wills to do something even though they know it is haram, and they follow their will. And from this also, rather the greatest, أعظم ما يكون فتنة الشهوة الزنا واللواط, يعني the most severe of the fitna of desires is illegal sexual relations, illegal sexual يعني actions that are prohibited. He said الزنا يعني fornication or adultery, and لواط يعني homosexuality, and we seek refuge in Allah from this. And this is the most harmful thing that would occur to this ummah. Yani the most harmful thing upon this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this fitna of shahwat, and specifically zina. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma taraktu ba'di fitnatan adarra 'ala ar-rijal min an-nisa." Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that I haven't left anything behind me, a fitna that is more harmful to the men than women. Yani these illegal, unlawful, illicit relations and things that take place, however far it goes, to the end or part of it, all of this, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَّرْ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ, That's more harmful to the men than women. Meaning that the women would be a cause of, yani, they are not, the woman is not a fitna herself, but she became the cause of the fitna, especially if they are the women who don't wear clothing, who are mutabarrij. Yani, the women who uncover themselves. We mean the kafir women, inshallah, not the Muslim women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also said, اتق النساء فإن أول فتنة بني إسرائيل كانت في النساء. So observe taqwa, yani fear Allah in reference to women. And be careful. Don't put yourself in a position. Abadan, not from near or far. Protect yourself. اتق النساء, be careful of the women. فإن أول فتنة بني إسرائيل, the first fitna for the Bani Israel was the women. And we should say here, yani, just to be clear, that yani, there's no doubt that this is a fitna. And if you look at the Quran, 3rd surah, 14th ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ, to the end of the ayat, that the love of desires, of fulfilling one's desires, has been made, yani, has been adorned and made beautified to the people. And the first one that he mentioned is the women, and then the children, and then the other material things in the dunya. And some of the scholars said this is a proof of what? That the greatest of those fitna of shahawat is the woman. And we should also add that this is not so in reference to the righteous woman, the righteous Muslim woman, because the Prophet ﷺ also said in the hadith that's reported by Al-Imam Muslim, الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ, in some of the narrations, الدُّنْيَا كُلُّهَا مَتَاعٌ وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا الْمَرْأَ الصَّالِحَةِ, that this world and whatever it contains, all of it has some kind of benefit in it. But the greatest of the best, the good, خَيْرُ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا, the best, the most excellent of the things that are of benefit in this world is a righteous woman. So we're talking about here the fitna of women, meaning the indecent women, the wicked women, the kufar women. We're not talking about al-mar'a al-salihah, al-muslima, al-mu'mina. We're not talking about this woman. Although this woman, yani, like we have faults, women have faults also, right? So sometimes we are the people who believe in Allah and we love the sunnah, but we also have shortcomings, and we might do things that could be a fitna for the women, and they might do things that could be a fitna for us. But in general, we're talking about the women who are the cause of fitna, and that's not the one who's obedient to Allah and worshipping Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned these two hadith to warn us of the fitna of women. And the Shaykh mentioned them here to make us to understand the fitna of shahawat, following desires, that the most harmful of those fitan upon the men are the women. And then the Shaykh, he says, وَلَدَيْنَا الْآنْ فِي مُجْتَمِعِنَا مَنْ يَدْعُوا إِلَى هَذِهِ الرَّذِيلَةِ وَيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ بِأَسَالِيبِ الْمُلْتَوِيَةِ. Yani, and we have amongst us some people in our society, and he's talking about the Muslim society, and maybe he's talking about more specifically in the country where he's at or where he was at, rahimahullah. Yani, but definitely he's talking about the Muslim countries, that there are some people amongst us, and it's also yani in Saudi Arabia, no doubt that's where he was at when he was saying this, who are calling to this filth, yani, these filthy ways. And we seek refuge in Allah from this by crooked, perverted means. Yani, they are using names to describe what they are calling to that have nothing to do whatsoever with what they are calling to. But rather the names that they use, the means that they use, are merely the wasila, yani, the way to reach that which they are desiring, and that is to tear down the covering of the women and to bring the women out of their homes. Yani, التبرج والاختلاط, Shaykh is talking about here. A tabarruj, calling the people to tabarruj, and ikhtilat, mixing between men and women. Yani, people who are calling to this, to destroying, tearing down the covering of the women, exposing the women, and causing them to come out of their homes so that they may share with men in their work, in the workplace. And as a result of this, shar, evil and bala, yani, trials and tribulations occur amongst the Muslims. And we ask Allah to make their plots, to put it back in, yani, upon them, yani, to come back to them. And we ask Allah to give power, yusallit, حُكَّامًا عَلَيْهِمْ, to make the rulers, to overcome them, to take control of these people, and to distance them from everything that will be a cause of evil and corruption in these lands. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant success to the rulers, the Muslim rulers, that they have bitana salihah, yani righteous advisors that will direct them to khair and will encourage them upon it. Will direct them to the khair and keep encouraging them to do it. And this is so important, that there are yani righteous advisors to advise the rulers. They are human beings. If they don't have somebody to advise them with good advice and to encourage them to do it, they are human beings like you and I. If we don't have somebody to advise us, to remind us, to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong, we will go astray. That's why it's part of from the fundamentals of the deen and nasiha, ad-deen and nasiha, wal amal bil ma'ruf wal nahy anil munkar, because every human being is in need of this. And the Shaykh said that indeed the fitna of Bani Israel, it was in the women, and the woman, she is the greatest, the most grave trial or tribulation. And there are some people who are devising plots and plans with the intention of ruining the honor of the women, so that they will make them like yani dummy, yani like a doll or a puppet, or yani something that is not, like they don't have any human value, but they are simply there for the purpose of fulfilling the shahwa, yani the desires, the lust of the wicked and evil people, and zahra, yani they're just like something to be on display for adornment, for the people, the fusak, yani the corrupt and evil and filthy people, to enjoy them, looking at their faces at every moment, at every hour. And we seek refuge from Allah, and by the power of Allah, yani we expect that the dua of the Muslims will overcome them, will encompass them, and soon yani will what? Suppress their plots and cause them to retreat on their heels without achieving anything. We need to be making dua, because the Muslim lands are being corrupted, and the women are coming out of their homes, and they're going into the workplaces, and they're driving cars in Saudi Arabia. No, they are driving. The law didn't come into effect yet. They already started driving. They said later for that law. We ain't waiting no 9 months. We're driving now. This corruption is the result of the people of corruption calling the women out of their homes. And some of us, perhaps we will say, what's wrong with the women driving? If you only knew. If you understood. In the Muslim society, where the woman is protected and preserved, yani just, I don't want to go into this because some people might be offended, and this is not the place for us here at this moment to talk about this topic in detail, but the point is, yani our women have to be protected and preserved at all costs. Protect your wives, your mothers, your sisters, your daughters at all costs. Do the best you can. Do the best you can. We know that we live in a kafir society, but we must make effort. We must strive and struggle to protect our women from corruption, from perversity, from the filthy people that are in the society, especially in the kafir society. And the Shaykh, he said, soon the Saudi woman, rather the woman in every place in the Islamic lands, will be yani respected and honored and protected in the way that Allah intended for them. What is important, al-muhim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadharana, he warned us from these trials, these fitan, that will be like pieces or segments of dark night, in which a person, a man, yani will reach the morning as a believer and reach the evening as a kafir, and we seek refuge in Allah from this. In one day, the person would apostate from Islam, they would come out of the deen, they would reach the evening as a believer and reach the morning as a kafir. Nas'alullah al-afiyah. We ask Allah well-being and protection from this. Limada? Why is this happening? Yabiu dinahu bi'ardin min ad-dunya. Because this person would sell his deen for some of the worldly goods. Yani ardin min ad-dunya. And as we said in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, he said, ardin qaleelin. Yani because the person would not have any value for his deen, and he would sell his deen for something of the pleasures, the entertainment, the recreation, the joys, the enjoyment of worldly things. And don't think that the arad from the dunya is only wealth. that it's only to get money, that people would only sell their deen for money alone. كُلُّ مُتَاعَ الدُّنْيَا عَرْضٌ. Everything that is enjoyed in this dunya is a ard. No matter whether it's wealth, or whether it's yani prestige, or whether it's riyasa, yani leadership in the government, or whether it is the women or other than that. Everything that people in this world yani enjoy in this world, the things of the world, all of this is what is meant by ard. Yani something of the worldly pleasures, the possessions or properties or goods of this world. كُلُّ مَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مِن مَتَاعَ فَإِنَّهُ عَرْضٌ. Everything in this world that is enjoyed, it is what is considered ard. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in the 4th surah, Surah An-Nisa, 94th ayat, تَبْتَغُونَ عَرْضَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ اللَّهِ مَغَانِمُ كَثِيرًا. And they are seeking the yani ard, al-hayat al-dunya, the pleasurable enjoyments, pleasures, goods, things of this world, while with Allah is maghanima kathira, maghain kathira, yani so much, so many things of benefit, yani whatever, yani the things that a person needs from this world, all of this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever is in this world, yani all of it, all of the things, the pleasures of this world are ard. And then the Shaykh, he says, we close with this. So these people, yani those who would reach the morning as a believer and reach the evening as a disbeliever, or they would reach the evening as a believer and reach the morning as a disbeliever, all of them, they will sell their deen for something, some ard of the dunya, yani some of the pleasures or the goods or the worldly things of this dunya. And we ask Allah to protect us and to protect you all from the fitin. And then the Shaykh says, استعيذوا دائما يا إخواني من الفتن. And he's commanding us, he's encouraging us, and he's telling us in the command form. Yani great encouragement, right? Seek refuge all the time, oh my brothers, from fitin. Yani regularly, and consistently. And then the Shaykh says, وَمَا عَظَمُ مَا عَمَرَنَا بِهِ النَّبِيِّنَا عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَالسَّلَامُ حَيْثُ قَالَ. And what is greater, what could be greater than that which our Prophet has commanded us with, the Shaykh said. عَمَرَنَا بِهِ نَبِيُّنَا. That which he has commanded us with. And even though some scholars said, the command here is for, yani, that is mandub, yani something recommended or commended. But in any case, the clear language of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ commanded us. And even though most of the scholars say it means it's not obligatory, but it's mustahab. And some scholars said, no, it is obligatory. And this is a long discussion that we don't have time to discuss tonight. But in any case, yani the Shaykh says, the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to say, إِذَا تَشَهَدَ أَحَدُكُمْ يَعْنِي التَشَهُدَ الْأَخِيرِ. Yani when any one of you recites the tashahud in the prayer, and he means the final tashahud, yani in the last rak'ah, whether it's the third or fourth or second rak'ah, and the final tashahud, فَلْيَسْتَعِذُّ, yani before a person makes taslim, after they do tashahud, then they should seek refuge in Allah from four matters. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ عَذَابِ جَهَنَّمُ. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the hellfire, I mean the nar, jahannam. وَمِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ, and from the punishment in the grave, which is a reality, no doubt. وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَ وَمَمَاتِ. And these are two things, but the Prophet mentioned them as one, obviously, because he said from four things. So he's considering these two together, the trials of life and the trials of death. And the trials of life are all the trials that we experience in this world while we are in this life, and the trials of death meaning at the time of death. At the time of death, that either it is the questioning in the grave from the angels who will question you about your deen and your prophet and your Rabb. Yani it's either that, or some of the scholars said it means the trial of shaitan, who is more eager at the time of a person's death to try to mislead them. And it's narrated from Imam Ahmed that shaitan was trying to get him at the last moment of his life, and he kept saying, no, la, la, la. And his son said, what are you saying? He said, shaitan is trying to get me. And I'm saying, la. Yani ma ba'd, not yet. Not yet. I didn't die yet. When I'm dead, I'm safe. Not until then. And because shaitan will try to get you at the last minute. If he didn't get you in this life, he will get you at the approach of death. And this is from what the scholar said, meaning the fitna of mamat, at the time of death. It is either the questioning in the grave or the يعني the eagerness of shaitan to mislead a person, to cause them to say something of kufr, or to يعني cause their destruction. ومن شر فتنة المسيح الدجال. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the fitna of Masih al-Dajjal, the Antichrist, he said this is the greatest fitna that the human being will be exposed to since the time of Adam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Masih al-Dajjal. And the fitna of Masih al-Dajjal is part of the fitna of this life. يعني the fitna of this life. يعني the fitna til mahya wa mamati. يعني mahya, يعني the trial of Dajjal will be during the lifetime of the people. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made it separate because of the magnitude of this fitna. And the Shaykh, he closes saying, Nas'alullah and yuthibuna, and maybe this is a mistake, it seems like it should be yuthabbituna, as it came in the ayat in the Quran. Yani we ask Allah to make us firm. Yani wa iyyakum, us and you, bil qawl thabit, with the firm word that is la ilaha illallah, fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah, yani while we're in this world and when we're being questioned in the grave. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك.